Christ calls you and me to be servants, and in fact, to go all in, to be in a relationship of service with all those God calls us to serve. How can we not respond to that call?
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, November 11th, 2018. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at the corner of Sherman and Lake in Evanston. And now, here's Pastor Keith Fry.
This weekend, we are observing Veterans Day. In fact, in one more minute, we will be at 100 years exactly from the signing of the armistice on the 11th month, the 11th day at the 11th hour. And we remember and honor those who have given of themselves in service, expressing our gratitude for the sacrifices they made, especially those who made the ultimate sacrifice. A while back, I read Stephen Ambrose's book, Citizen Soldiers, which was an account of World War II in Europe. It's really hard to imagine what the men and women who served there went through. Long separation from home and family and friends, huddling in snow-covered foxholes, slogging through deep mud, long nights of watchfulness, long periods of uneasy boredom, followed by sudden unannounced ambush and frantic activity, sharp hunger when supplies were slow in arriving, painful injuries, debilitating illness, seeing comrades dying before their eyes. It's a horrible, horrible thing to contemplate in so many ways. And you could ask yourself why anyone would be willing to do that. To be sure, I have known veterans who would smile wryly and answer that question by saying, well, it was at first because I was drafted. But there was more to it than that, something larger than that. There was a sense that they were fighting for something, that they were contributing to a just cause that called for their service and for their sacrifice. Throughout the stories that I have read and heard, it becomes clear that there was a sense of relationship that motivated that service and sacrifice, relationship to family and friends, relationship to the larger community and country, relationship to comrades, relationship with those who were being oppressed. And many were sustained through that sacrifice by their relationship with God as well. And there was a feeling that they were in the effort together, not solely as individuals, but as people who belong to something larger than themselves. Stephen Ambrose describes it. He says it was a we generation in the sense that we're all in this together. He says relationship led to generous, selfless service. Relationship led to sacrifice. It was because of a sense of relationship that people were willing to go all in. As I've shared with you on several occasions recently, it's disturbing to me the degree to which we have lost the sense of we. That notion that I as an individual belong to something larger than myself, that I have an obligation to my neighbor, that I am called to serve others, that I am bound together with others for a larger cause for the good not only of myself, but somehow also of the world. Now, it's an all too human tendency to turn inward. And I keep hammering away at this because I think it's a worldview that has insidiously permeated our culture. It's a way of life that's poisoning us. As a culture, we praise the self-made individual, and we shrink away from the notion of sacrifice. We've bought into this idea that it's every person for himself or herself. We isolate ourselves from community, and we often choose not to participate in joint activities. As a culture, we've turned inward and no longer think of ourselves as part of a we, but rather as a me. But that's nothing new. It's exactly the sort of thing that's described in today's gospel reading. Jesus is standing there in the courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem, teaching to a crowd that has gathered around him to listen. And he speaks harsh words about the scribes, who are sort of a cross between lawyers and religious leaders and are in the elite of that society. And some of them have fallen in love with the status that their religious and social leadership has brought them. Because of this, some of them have become wealthy by looking out entirely for themselves, by cheating widows out of their homes in the courts through perfectly legal maneuvers, by imposing higher and higher religious taxes. They're portrayed as self-promoters who've stopped looking out for the good of the community and are looking out only for number one, basking in the glory of their fancy clothes, reveling in people's admiration and envy of their wealth and their shrewdness, and then cloaking it all with pious prayers and with talk about how much they love God. They give big contributions to the temple, to be sure, and they toss heavy silver coins into the temple treasury, throwing them noisily into these 13 trumpet-shaped brass receptacles that funneled money down into storage chests below. Money that was destined for the care of the needy and the necessities of the temple. But for them, this represents only a small portion of their very significant wealth. Certainly not enough to really even matter to them. Not enough to represent any kind of sacrifice. For the scribes Jesus is describing, the most important thing is being seen and admired. They really care little for those in need or for the larger community. It's all about me. There's no sense of relationship in their giving. Their giving is painless, and it's done for themselves and their own purposes rather than for others or out of love for God. And then immediately following this scathing commentary, Jesus leads his friends over to look at those treasury boxes. And as they watch, a nameless, poverty-stricken widow, mixed in with the throng of people there, perhaps one of the very widows who have been cheated out of their homes by the scribes, slips into the trumpet her two tiny, almost worthless coins. So tiny and light, they don't make any noise at all. I once bought my father one of these coins as a gift. It was the thinnest little sliver of metal, not much thicker than aluminum foil, and just about the size of my little fingernail. The coins were not even enough to buy the smallest bird to offer as a sacrifice. So here we have a needy woman giving her entire wealth, what the Greek text says is her whole life, for the needs of others, for the love of God, with no fanfare whatsoever. She literally is going all in, giving everything she has to her neighbor and to God. I think maybe Jesus points this out with a mixture of sadness and anger at the unfairness of it all. And we risk glorifying the sacrifice of the poor without recognizing what that implies for them. But I think Jesus is contrasting it with the self-interested, limited giving of the wealthy. But I think there is also praise there for this woman's sacrifice, for her willingness to be in relationship, and for an extravagant generosity that doesn't stop to count the cost. Over the past weeks, we've been talking a lot about relationship. We've talked about that fundamental relationship that we have with God, who is the giver of every good gift, the one who, out of great love for us, offered his very own Son with grace and mercy that we cannot boast about as something we have earned, who offered his own Son as a gift to us without counting the cost, and who gives us the gift of abundant life. How can we not respond to that relationship in gratitude? And that same God provides rich resources day by day throughout our lives, generously providing for us and for all of creation. But those resources are entrusted to us as gifts, not only for ourselves, but for our neighbor as well. Jesus calls us to be in right relationship with our resources, recognizing them for what they really are, blessings that are shared with us so we can share them with others, so that we can be in right relationship with others. How can we not respond with gratitude for those blessings? And how can we not share them generously, as God intends? In teaching confirmation to Tyler this week, I was reminded of what Luther's Small Catechism says. He says, "I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reason and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. God protects me against danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. And all this is done out of pure, fatherly, and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. For all of this, I owe it to God to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true." Our psalm today says that God gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, cares for the immigrant. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow. Sisters and brothers, God does those things through us. God does that through the resources that we have been entrusted with as stewards of them. The blessings you enjoy are given so you can be in relationship with your neighbor and bless your neighbor. Christ calls you and me to be servants, and in fact, to go all in, to be in a relationship of service with all those God calls us to serve. How can we not respond to that call Given all that God has done for us, how can we not respond sacrificially to those in need? God gives the gift of relationship with one another in the church, a relationship of mutual support and encouragement, a we, a relationship that allows us to do together so much more than we could ever hope to do alone. And we share our resources with one another, not to perpetuate an institution, but so that together we can participate in the amazing things God is doing in our world. So we can participate in completing the miracles. How can we not respond? Now, this isn't about feeling guilty because we're not as generous as the widow in the temple. That's not the point at all. The point is that God has gifted us with relationship, and in response to relationship, we can joyfully participate in something larger than ourselves. The need is great. But we can respond with extravagant generosity because we're not alone in this. We are part of a we. In the coming weeks, you will be given an opportunity to make a commitment of giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your talents, giving of your treasure. And on the last Sunday of this month, as an act of worship, we are going to offer up those commitments of time and talent and treasure to God. And I pray that we will come like that widow, quietly and humbly offering all that we have, all that we are, going all in, extravagantly responding to the God who has gone all in for us. And so I invite you to begin now to pray and to ask how God is calling you to give of yourself, of everything that you are, everything that you have, for the good of the world God loves so much. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.